It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
Good morning. It is a Saturday. Larry is over to the microphone, ready to take your phone calls as we talk gardening. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. Good to see you.
Nice to be seen and heard around the area as well.
Oh, heard too, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. What a week, huh?
Yeah. It's, we've had a little bit of spring weather, I guess, early, a little bit of rainfall early.
Appreciate the rain. You did so good on that rain. Tell you what, my grass is growing so nice.
Isn't it?
Finally get some warm weather. Well, yeah. Finally. It's been kind of hot.
Yeah.
And it took a little while for the Bermuda grass to kick in this year, but it's really going to town right now.
Yesterday's,
we got a caller?
Yesterday's heat index around 109 didn't hurt it either.
Good morning,
caller. You are on with Larry Glass. What can we do for this morning? Let's try. Okay, they didn't stick around, but we'll hopefully they will here give us a call back. Again, 800-749-5936 or locally 918-336-1400. And, yeah, your grass is growing.
You bet. Doing really good. Nice dark green color.
Okay.
Gave it some iron, and it really darkened the color. It's just starting to fill in. I had a problem the last few years with a crabgrass outbreak, but I seem to have defeated that problem now for the most part.
Good for you.
And now it's filling in again. It'll be a pretty lawn again until it gets too dry, and then it'll just turn brown again. Whatever. It's Oklahoma. We'll have a pretty yard for about a week.
I think there's a period just about every summer. I don't care what part of the country you live in. We get that I don't care if it's week or month of brown grass.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, so it looks good right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the garden right now, the flower stalks are pretty much done on the iris.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to cut them off.
Okay.
It'll be about a month from now. It'll be time to divide those, and I've got a lot to divide in my house. They need to be split up. They're just getting too crowded and too many of them.
And when we do that, we put them in groups of five?
Three.
Groups of three.
Groups of three, yeah. We'll talk about that about a month when that comes. Time to lay down some mulch. If you haven't yet, we've sold a lot of mulch, just truckloads of it. Take our a truck with a tilting bed,
mm-hmm.
and we have a bobcat scoop, which is about a half yard, and we deliver that to people's houses. And it's a really inexpensive way to get mulch. And you definitely need it to help save water.
You said a pretty good quality mulch compared to the stuff you buy in bags?
It's a cedar mulch. It's a very finely ground cedar mulch.
Okay.
So it's kind of reminiscent of pine straw mulch.
Mm-hmm.
Mulch, really. It's that kind of texture. It's not, and you won't get any of these big old wood chunks.
I'm gonna say there's some of them that you feel like they left the whole log in that thing.
Well, it's just like wood chips.
Yeah,
you know? And like what came out of the power company when they that kind of thing. No, this is the finely ground stuff. It's good quality stuff. So we got a lot of that on hand, and another truckload of it in the bags. If you prefer the bags, we have it in the bags too.
Okay,
so that's in. So mulching is very important right now, not necessarily on the iris. The iris really don't like it. Actually, I think they prefer to be a little on the dry side without mulch.
Okay. Hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, they seem to do very well. You just kind of throw them on the ground and they grow. They're pretty easy to grow plants. Also, the peonies, the bloom is over, mm-hmm. and it's time to cut them back.
I can forecast rain because I can just look at the peonies, and whenever they're in full bloom, we're
going to
have a thunderstorm.
And it did this year. Yeah. Yeah. They're beautiful. I had two of them up front, really nice, covered in pink flowers. And, of course, it rained, and they all went. Well, they were pretty for a while. That's kind of a disadvantage for peonies, is that they just bloom for such a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a throwback from the old days when we didn't really have much like we have now as far as flowers are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big event. And there are peony societies and peony competitions and so on. But after they're over, it's, you know.
Well, but the time that I think you're talking about, flower gardens were, for the most part, we use stuff that was native or at least grew somewhere in the U.S.
as extremely opposed to, adaptable, yeah.
As opposed to bringing them in from some tropical rainforest or wherever.
Right, yeah. And the peonies, they're from China and Japan, so they're really not native, but they adapt very well here.
Yeah.
So they, but anyway, that's that and the iris and other things are kind of, and they're beautiful when they bloom.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to kind of use them in the back of the beds, if you will. So you can put, you know, flowers in front of them. and kind of hide them a little bit when they're not showing, when they're not in bloom. So,
okay.
In other words, well, there are really a lot of iris aficionados.
Yes.
That's the word you use?
Yeah, right, I think that works.
Yeah. They really like them a whole lot, and it's almost competitive. but they're so beautiful and when they bloom. But now we have iris that bloom twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I sold some to a customer a couple years ago. And I got a phone call when they blew, and she was so thrilled that they were in bloom again. And no, it really is very nice.
It's not native to what an iris always has been. Iris bloomed once a year, and then you kind of went on to other things.
Now and then, you hybridize plants like that. You take the seeds and you plant them, and they come up different colors and whatnot. And now and then, something happens like that genetically. And mm-hmm. then, this one bloomed twice. Well, let's clone that one.
Yeah.
So you take root divisions, because that's the only way to really get them true to name is not necessarily by seeding, but root division. It lets you keep track of the two varieties you cross, and then you can more reliably come up with different seeds. So anyway, that's kind of how that came about. And there are a lot of mine at home bloomed beautifully last fall, and they bloomed beautifully this spring. So they're coming along with that now. They can do that with peony plants.
Yes.
I mean, they lazily sit there all summer long, drinking up water and fertilizer, and they do nothing. It'd be nice if they could get them to bloom in the fall, too. But I'm sure that'll come someday.
Yeah, or you know, even like the knockout rose where they could basically bloom all summer. You know, it'd be great.
Yeah, it takes a lot of energy, though, to produce that flower.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't know why they... It'll come up someday. I'm sure you'll have it on the peonies.
Yes.
So anyway, back to what we got to do.
Okay.
Time to mulch those tomatoes.
Yes.
Yeah, I put some straw down around mine. They're doing great. And in fact, I haven't really done anything more than a casual look in the last 3 weeks. I've been so busy, and I need to get out of there tomorrow morning and stake them up.
Yes, they're still over there.
Yeah. Get out an old t-shirt and tie them to the fence they're on, and they'll do fine. So it's time to stake them up and mulch them real good. Watch for mites and bacteria leaf spot on the tomatoes as well.
Okay.
That'll be coming up pretty soon as it gets hot. And mm-hmm. if we have a lot of humidity and if your air circulation is bad, you're going to have a problem with that. Most of the times on your heirloom tomatoes, which are the ones I grew this year, mm-hmm. you don't have much of a problem like that. Because that sort of comes about naturally.
Yeah, so they've developed the natural immunity just through
adapting. Yeah, they got adapting. VFNT, whatever, all these letters.
VFNT.
HDQ.
Yeah.
So, anyway, also on your roses, if you do have some of the hybrid tea roses, you want to probably spray for black spot.
Okay.
As the temperature is warm like this, and as the nighttime temperature stays consistently warm, we have an issue with black spot. Somewhere up in the northeast and all that, where the nighttime temperatures get cooler, there's not as much of a problem. But here, when it's warm, 75 degrees at night, which is very common here in the summer.
Yes, it is.
It's perfect for fungal growth. So you want to do a fungus application, fungicide application. There are several fungicides, too, that are systemic. Mm-hmm. We have one called Fusion, and there's the old-fashioned Benamil
still works very well.
Systemic, right. Okay. And it works from within the plant. It's kind of an inoculation, if you will. You have to repeat applications once in a while, because as a tree grows, and it gets a little diluted in there. And that does an awful lot to prevent that from happening.
Okay.
Fungus, too. So, insects are pretty easy to control, too. We've got, at the nursery, we have all kinds of organics you can use for those. So you don't have to worry about, you know, creating a Martian environment on your backyard. You can actually have... Yeah, you can coexist with your plants real well without having to poison everything.
Because otherwise, all you've got is Nandinas. Yeah,
exactly. So use the neem oil or the spinosad. Spinosad is a real good one. I use that on my fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps the little critters down. So be very careful with the imidacloprid, though, and try not to apply that on plants that are frequented by bees and butterflies, because that nicotinoid insecticide can be transferred to the insect as it goes to the plants.
And that is another systemic?
Yeah, it's systemic.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of it, what's going on on that. The perennials are starting to make a show right now. The Echinaceae will begin blooming pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Echinaceae is coneflowers, with which you're all familiar. And that definitely tells you that summer is here.
Yes.
When the coneflowers start to bloom. So the gladias are in bloom, the tick seed. Actually, this last week, the daylilies.
Oh, yeah.
The hemerocallis.
They popped up pretty well.
Yeah, hemerocallis, they started to bloom. The stelladoros are blooming right now. And mm-hmm. I was at somebody's house yesterday, and she hadn't divided hers for 5 years, but they're really doing very well. So she's neglected them quite well.
Sometimes plants like that one thrive on neglect. So
they do. But typically, though, the stelladoros need to be divided about every 3 years. So that'll probably happen pretty soon, but not while they're in bloom. You want to do that while they're dormant.
Exactly. 800-749-5936, the telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener. Locally, 918-336-1400. We'll continue with your phone calls coming up in just a bit.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals, you've got yard fencing augers, you've got lawn aerators, sod cutters, seriously? You've got that kind of stuff there?
Yep, sure do. Use a sod cutter if you need to move some sod from your backyard and move it. We've got the lawn aerator, help your lawn out, and a lot of people are putting in their own fence, and you need the auger to drill your post holes, and in this country there's a lot of rocks, so you need the jackhammer to get through the rock to get your post set. 3801 Southeast Nowata Road, 918-333-9580.
Springtime at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses means new hours, new shipment of plants, and discount Wednesdays. Green Thumb is now open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, and Sunday, noon to 5. And they are busy with new shipments of trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and herbs that are arriving each week. And during discount day every Wednesday, receive 10% off regular priced items. But only at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Bartlesville has the power of more with Cable One high-speed internet, the power of unlimited data, the power of speeds up to 1 gig, and with the power to choose from more packages, you'll get more value out of every connection. Call 855-564-3149 to get everything you want from your internet and way more. Experience the power of more with Cable One. Visit cableone.net/internet to sign up now. Restrictions apply. Call Cable One for details. Customers who use more than 5 terabytes may be subject to speed reductions for the remainder of their billing cycle.
Locally 918-336-1400. Taking your questions for Larry Glass, and we have a caller. Good morning. You are next up on the air with Larry. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I have a question about Asiatic lilies.
Yes.
Mine are 3 foot tall. The blooms are so big, they're pulling out of the ground, which they're planted around a tree.
Right.
So we tied them up. What is the next time that is best to separate those bulbs and kind of rearrange and add them, plant them deeper?
Later on in the summer, when the leaves wither, it'll be time to do that. They're going dormant.
And can you cut them all the way back when the leaves have withered? You still stalk a long time.
Yeah, you can cut it back all the way.
Dig them up, and replant any time later in the summer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't have to wait till fall.
Put them in an area that has a whole lot of sunshine, and they'll pretty much hold up on their own.
Well, these are under the tree, and they're 3+ foot tall, and huge.
Wonderful.
So I'll cut them back and rearrange when I can.
And you might, because they get so tall and because it does get so windy here, and then when it does rain, or when Charlie lets it rain, it rains so much that the ground gets kind of loose, so you might go ahead and plant ahead with some kind of staking mechanism.
Right now, they're just tied up around the tree.
Oh, my.
They're not getting away.
Well, hope the tree doesn't fall over.
No, it's huge, too.
But a lot of times, if they're tempered by the wind and being out in the open sun, they're going to be sturdier and more compact. So you probably won't have much of a problem with that once they're out in at least some western sun.
Well, these are quite large around and sturdy, but they're so tall and the blooms are so huge and heavy. They're done well, but they're too big for their own good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. they will be more compact and more sunshine. So I think they'll be better.
Okay, thank you. Right.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for the call. 918-336-1400, 800-749-5936. The boss is in for a question.
Larry. Charlie's the boss. Charlie's the boss.
Gabby, what's up?
Charlie's the real boss. The Japanese maples.
Yes, what about them?
Mine's kind of gotten bigger and a little out of control, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, they don't grow very fast to begin with.
Right.
Can I cut them off now?
You can. I trimmed one last week.
It doesn't matter when you trim them.
Yeah, you don't get out your diesel-powered shears, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get my chainsaw and cut a lemon off.
Poor tree. I can imagine what that's going to look like.
Just cut it off.
Well, you can, yes. It won't be the best thing for it, but you
can. Well, I know, but...
When it's branching out like this...
Show them, Larry. Show them what you're talking about.
You'll want to cut it right here.
Yeah.
In other words, this branch is way too long.
Yeah.
You don't cut it over here.
No, I want to cut it right at the trunk of
the
tree.
Trunk. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, basically a premise I follow when trimming Japanese maples is not to shear it at the end, but take the, quote, offending branch, unquote, and cut it all the way back to where it ties in. Then it'll do okay. It'll still look like a Japanese maple.
The boars love those Japanese maples, you know that?
The trees that are kind of unhealthy, they do like that.
They love those boars. Uh-huh. Boars just love those things.
If your Jap maple is happy and healthy, they really won't bother it too much.
I just took a call from a guy over in Nowata, and they're opening up a brand new bait and tackle shop, Charlie. Right,
that was part of the Nowata Chamber of Commerce email blast that went out on Friday.
Anyway, Fisher Bait and Tackle, grand open, 11 o'clock, hot dogs. He's giving away a fishing trip, and he's giving away... lures and rods and reels, and he's got frozen live bait and the whole nine yards over there on Elm Street.
Go see him.
Go see him today.
Well, in 20 years when I can retire, I'll go down and see him.
About 30 years when I retire, we'll just go.
You guys will be fast friends.
Yeah, that's what we'll do here in about 30 years.
Well, we'll see you up at the lake every Saturday.
Yeah. The also, Larry.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to... Yersty was brutal, wasn't it?
Tell me about it. Yes, it was terrible.
Just the humidity and the...
It was just 100 and... What was the heat index?
109 was the 109. Forecast. I didn't actually...
I think it only made it up to 107.
It went away.
If you can feel the difference between 107 and 109, you're good. You're a good man.
There went the green thumb pen.
You broke my pen.
Broke it.
Well, I hope you got a K1 pen to replace it.
We got plenty anyway. The other thing... I did hear the forecast for June much warmer and much drier.
Right. Yeah, it's...
Charlie's not going to let it rain.
Give him a vacation.
He's not going to let it rain.
Let him take a vacation. It always rains when he's out of town.
So you know what will happen in July? It'll just be floods.
I know it'll be flooding. We did have a flood not too long in July.
July the 7th, if I remember.
It was the 5th, wasn't it?
It was over the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Because K1 went off the air before that, but on the 4th of July, it got down far enough below the insulator on the tower that it came back on the air. Huh. Water was everywhere out there. I boated out and turned the transmitter back on, and everything was fine.
That's one way to get a new hairdo.
2005, as I recall.
Was it 5 or... No, I believe it's 7.
7, Charlie. Okay.
So, yeah, it just depends. We could get rain anytime. There is a small chance of rain this week, I believe, sometime.
It's a 20% chance this morning, but I don't see any other mention of rain through Friday as I look at the forecast right now.
There was a rather ominous-looking cloud heading south as I was approaching the radio station.
Oh.
So, it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean that...
On the national radar, Kansas is getting it real good.
Yes, it are.
Yeah. I believe it looks like it's trying to head north of us, isn't it, Charlie?
That was what Station Knight was talking about on the forecast. It would be more north of our listening area, our stations.
So the watershed's been real good up north, and we have plenty of water in the reservoir.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we're all right.
How's the digging?
Digging's good. Ground's actually good, moist. You can actually dig a shovel. We haven't sharpened our shovels in 2 weeks.
I got to tell you, my Bermuda grass you can hear it growing out there. You can go out and listen to it grow.
Yeah, it's I mowed my grass.
It's not just the crickets?
No, it's going fast right now.
It was Tuesday I mowed the grass.
And it looks like it needs it again.
It needs it again.
Even on yours where there's Mars down there.
Oh, yeah, on my planet Mars.
Yeah.
It needs mowing again.
I mean, it is doing it.
Yeah, it really, really does very well in the heat, as long as you have heat and fertilizer and sunshine and maybe some soil, it'll do okay.
I know, and I was fortunate enough to get all my flower beds mulched,
mm-hmm,
and everything there, so
you'd be able to keep that rain we had longer that way.
I know. Yeah. Now, my what's the tall green bushes?
Your Degroot Spire arborvitaes?
Arborvitaes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You said somewhere around the 15th of June,
right,
to go in and spray those things with malathion or whatever.
Bacillus thuringiensis.
What's that?
BT.
Well, what about malathion?
Well, malathion won't work, yeah.
Because that's when they're not bagworms yet, but they'll start.
They're
moving around, aren't they?
Yeah. They're always bagworms. They're just not making the bags.
I really haven't seen very many of those lately. So.
But that's what.
Yeah, that's about this time.
Green Gum Nurse said around the 15th of June, just go spray those things and you are not going to have any trouble.
Exactly, man. Yeah.
You'll kill them before they get going.
Good thing about the BT is it's organic and it actually stays around. It's a bacterial culture. And it stays around a lot longer.
What about malathion?
Malathion is a contact insecticide and it'll kill them on contact.
Okay.
Maybe a twofold approach, perhaps.
Maybe you get malathion first and then go put BT on.
The BT will be there for some time until Charlie lets it rain, and then you have to reapply.
Wash it off.
Wash it off, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So, yeah, the tent caterpillars will be out.
That's the other thing. What about those on the pecan trees and the oaks?
I haven't seen very many yet. I saw a very early emergence on some of the prunus species and malus species, in other words, crab apples and cherries and things like that. I saw some of that, but it went away, and I haven't seen anything yet.
And all
usually they're a little bit later on in the year.
Just get some Dawn dishwashing soap.
Yeah, just spray them with soapy water.
Spray them up.
That'll kill them pretty good, yeah. I use that on wasps.
Do you?
Yeah. On a wasp nest.
Okay.
Get a hose end sprayer.
Yeah.
Set the setting on number 10 all the way and put Dawn in it and spray it. Make sure you're spitting out soap, though. Otherwise, you just make them more mad, and then spray the nest, and they come right at you. They go, oh no! Then they go, plop right on the ground.
Okay,
stuff works pretty good.
Well, this time of the year, wind's starting to blow out there right now, so
it is.
Looks like maybe something's trying to come through, but anyway. All right, Charlie, what else?
Well, it's time for us to pay some bills and take some calls, and we'll hear from our sponsors.
Best part of the program.
It is the best part.
We'll
hear
part of the
True Value, also Bertelsville CDJ, Enterprise Sod Store, and American Heritage Bank. 800-749-5936, locally 918-336-1400, and we'll take your phone calls coming up in 2 minutes on Green Country Gardener.
It can be hard to find a place where you feel like more than just a number. At American Heritage Bank, we combine over 110 years of experience with the highest quality of customer service to give you an unparalleled banking experience. Stop by one of our convenient locations or visit us at ahb-ok.com to experience the difference. American Heritage Bank, member FDIC.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Hi, Brian Pritchard here from Bartlesville Jeep, and I want to invite you to enjoy the Jeep Celebration event. Take the drive to Highway 75 in Bartlesville for a no-pressure, hassle-free buying experience. The 2019 Cherokee has arrived, and we want to invite every person in the area to come see this highly acclaimed SUV. The all-new Cherokee combines attractive Jeep styling and off-road capabilities. Starting at just $19,000, come test drive the 2019 Jeep Cherokee today. With the area's largest inventory, we won't be beat on price, guaranteed. Visit Bartlesville Jeep today on Highway 75 South in Bartlesville or BartlesvilleCDJ.com.
Something inspiring is happening at Peter's True Value in Dewey. They're offering you a world of beautiful colors by introducing Easy Care interior and exterior ultra-premium paint to their fine selection of products. Handcrafted in the USA, this high-quality paint is 100% acrylic and affords you many of the benefits associated with more expensive paint. It applies to surfaces smoothly with no splatter and has a new and improved formula to block stains, resist mold and mildew, and also scrubs easily. Plus, it's backed by a lifetime warranty. Shop now at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Behind every project is a true value.
(800) 749-5936, a telephone number to get you on the air on this Saturday morning. And Kevin was in talking about the grand opening for Fisher Bait and Tackle in Nowata this morning. That's for giveaways, free food, and more. There'll be free hot dogs, water, and giveaways, including rods and reels, a guided fishing trip from Redneck Rubber Company, and a Todd Huckabee rod, and more. Fisher Bait and Tackle open at 11 o'clock this morning, 117 South Elm in Nowata. They've got frozen and live bait, lures, hooks, of every kind of fishing equipment you can think of. That's Fisher Bait and Tackle. Grand opening this morning at 11 o'clock, 117 South Elm in Nowata. Grab a hot dog and go see them. And, of course, we're happy you're listening this morning to Green Country Gardener.
Yes, very much so. It's time for that second application of pre-emergent herbicide on the beds if you applied earlier this year. I noticed on my beds a little bit of emergence of some mulberry weed and some other various and sundry weeds on the in the beds in the front of the house. So you might want to apply that at this point right now. We've had enough rain for that stuff to wash through, and it just wears out, so you have to put it on again. So that time to do that. Let's see, remember to compose your plantings when you're planting new plants. We got all kinds of perennials and annuals at the nursery.
You got some nice, you mentioned the coneflowers coming out.
So exactly, yeah. We've got tons of them. And we've got a new annual lantana that's really nice. It's sterile, so it doesn't produce any seeds. And
yeah.
Because of that, the energy does not go to production of the seeds. It puts more energy into producing new flowers.
Really?
So you might want to check out some of those new lantana we have this year also.
Okay.
The butterflies like them real well, and the hummingbirds and so on, and mm-hmm. as well as the pentas and the petunias and other things.
When we talk about butterflies, there's two basic types of plants. They're food source, and exactly. then usually a different plant that is more where they lay their eggs and that sort of thing.
Right. We have a bench up front at the nursery that kind of focuses on the needs of hummingbirds and butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
So you might come check that out too. And when you do a bed, you just can't plant one plant. You really have to have a fairly large area for this
yeah.
to work.
One plant, they'll say, they'll ignore that yeah. one.
So you want to use a different consortium of plants that would cater to the butterflies or the hummingbirds' needs, and in a fairly large area.
Okay.
Just so as they're flying around, they can see, and zoom in on it,
mm-hmm.
and put the cat on the leash. So that should be all right. So... oh, golly. And remember, we can also, here we go, help you with composing your plants, too.
Okay.
And if you bring in your dimensions, we can tell you how much mulch you need. So when there's some mathematical formulas you can follow, which will come up with an idea of how much mulch to put down. Basically, you measure your square footage and multiply your square footage by 0.083.
Okay.
And that'll tell you how many bags you need.
That's cool.
Not necessarily cute, but bags
yeah.
of mulch.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
It is.
It gives you a 2.5, 3-inch layer or 2-inch layer of mulch. So that easy way to do it. So if you know your square footage beforehand, we can help you on that as far as how much to put down.
Okay. 0.083.
Okay. Also, chlorosis. I found a little bit of a problem with chlorosis on azaleas this year.
Okay.
Now that chlorosis is probably all the rain we had last year, kind of leached out some of the fertilizer in the soil.
Yeah. Define chlorosis for those that are not.
Chlorosis is a lack of iron in the soil, and the leaves turn yellow in color. And with azaleas, as they produce new leaves, the new leaves are diminished in size, and the internode is short on a chlorotic azalea plant. So if you notice on your azalea plant, some of the older leaves are bigger and some of the new ones are really, really small, mm-hmm. and they're starting to turn a little bit on the yellow side, it's not too late. They need some fertilizer to help lower that pH.
Internode, that's the space between this flower, this and the next one down, exactly. down the stem.
Basically the stem, the distance between two leaves on a stem is mm-hmm. called the node. Or internode, the node itself. Yes, an internode.
Yeah.
So if you notice a shortened internode and smaller leaves, chances are you need to just fertilize your azaleas. They do fine. Use the specified azalea fertilizer. Mm-hmm. 10-20-10 just won't work. Sometimes they use lime actually as a binding agent for the 10-20-10 fertilizer.
Which changes the pH of the soil
raises
a little
the
bit.
pH. Yeah. So you just don't want to use that kind of stuff on them. You want to use something that's generally made for azaleas. And it'll work. It'll keep them going.
Find one of those that has a picture of an azalea on the front of the package. You're in good shape.
I guess so.
Which I think Happy Frog has an azalea fertilizer, don't they? A separate bag of stuff for azaleas.
Yeah, Happy Frog is kind of a soil media.
Okay.
Where you grow things in, and you really need to watch your pH and look at the instructions on the bag to make sure that you don't put something on that has too high a pH for your azaleas. Typically, potting soils are neutralized.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, use a peat base and maybe some perlite and vermiculite. And in the case of Happy Frog, they put all kinds of other good stuff in it. But typically, there's pH stabilized. So if you do use a Happy Frog, you do want to add some iron sulfate or magnesium sulfate to that to lower the pH for your azaleas. Just
okay.
to counteract that, what that, they did to
right.
neutralize it.
Okay, 800-749-5936, and again, time for some phone calls this morning. What else you got for us this time of year?
The fescue grass now is going to start slowing down its growth. So if you have a fescue lawn, don't try to encourage too much growth at this point, especially when the nighttime temperatures are such as they are, because
mm-hmm.
To stimulate too much growth on it will weaken it and cause the onset of phytophthora, which is a fungus disease that causes a collapse of the vascular tissue in the plant, and then it settles to the ground and turns into a mat of brown. So if you have a sprinkler system, water very infrequently.
Okay.
New water. And go ahead and administer the same amount of water, an inch a week,
mm-hmm.
but don't do it every single day. In other words, don't give it a seventh of an inch of water every day.
Do it more like simulating nature, you know, that
exactly
three quarters of an inch.
So a dry out period between watering some fescue, especially when it's warm like it is very important.
Okay,
have a caller.
We do. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
Hi.
Hi.
We're having a garage sale, and we have a brand new pair of women's Justin boots, never worn, for $10.
Okay.
And all kinds of baby boy things.
Now that okay. Since we're talking gardens, but you already got your stuff on here. Where is your garage sale this morning?
It is at 207 North Park Avenue.
And that's in Bartlesville.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for the call. And as long as I've got you here on Larry Glass's Green Country Gardener on KWON and KGGF, you got any garden questions for us this morning?
I'm sorry?
Okay. As long as you're on the air here on KWON and KGGF on Green Country Gardener, do you have any garden questions for us this morning?
Yes, that would be great. When's the best time to prune rose bushes?
Rose bushes, you do a kind of a follow-up pruning basically all summer long. When the stem has grown up and the tips of it get to where they're not really productive, it's time to cut it back, and always cut roses back at a node. But a heavy pruning needs to be done in February.
In February.
But right now you can do light pruning on it and do just fine.
Is it true that you're supposed to put sugar on the clip where you cut at? Are you supposed to put sugar to keep it from dying?
Not necessary. That's used primarily when you on a cut flower, but on the plant itself, no, you really don't. You don't want to attract ants a lot. They
okay.
So
okay.
Anything thank you else? So much.
Thank you, Nash.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call this morning, and we have another call for us this morning. Good morning. You are on Green Country Gardener. How can we help you out today?
My question is, an apple tree, it seems to do real well or not very good at all. This year it's got a ton of apples on it. Yes. Could I pull some of those off and thin it out?
Yeah,
look, not have so many apples hanging on that tree?
Yeah, look at the quality of the individual apples, and if some of them have maybe a black spot on them or something, you might want to cut those. They've been infested with insects, you might want to cut those off. But thinning, if you have a whole lot of apples, yeah, a thinning of the apple is definitely needed. That's just part of the process.
Okay, all right.
That'll give you bigger, better fruit.
That's what I want, bigger, better fruit.
Okay, keep up the fruit tree spray, too.
Oh, okay, I'll do that, too.
All right. Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your phone call. And this invitation for you to come on out to the grand opening of Fisher Bait and Tackle in Nowata. That's this morning for some giveaways, free food and more, free hot dogs, water, and giveaways including rods and reels, a guided fishing trip from the Redneck Rubber Company, Todd Huckabee Rod and More. Fisher Bait and Tackle open at 11 o'clock this morning, 117 South Elm in Nowata. They have frozen and live bait, lures, hooks of every kind of fishing equipment you can think of. Fisher Bait and Tackle, grand opening at 11 o'clock. This morning, 117 South Elm Street in Nowata. Grab a free hot dog and go see them. We'll take more of your phone calls coming up in just a bit on Green Country Gardener.
Springtime at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses means new hours, new shipment of plants, and discount Wednesdays. Green Thumb is now open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, and Sunday, noon to 5. And they are busy with new shipments of trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and herbs that are arriving each week. And during discount day every Wednesday, receive 10% off regular priced items. But only at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants.
Well, I've enjoyed telling you about Kevin Hearn. That's my nephew who's overcome a lot growing up. Let me brag on him one last time. You know, Kevin started with nothing. He worked his tail off. He went through the McDonald's leadership program. He became a Christian. And he earned himself a McDonald's restaurant. Then he married the girl of his dreams, and his one McDonald's became 18. He served 13 years as chief financial officer for 3,500 McDonald's franchisees across the country. Kevin quietly used his success to help people everywhere. And he thinks as a congressman he could do more to make your life better. But I'll let Kevin tell you that part of the story later. Thank you for listening. Kevin Hearn is a remarkable man.
I'm Kevin Hearn, a candidate for U.S. Congress, and I approve this message. Paid for by Kevin Hearn for Congress.
Talking with the customers of the Gusher Car Wash, and looks like you're just about ready to finish up this truck.
Yes, sir, I am.
What made you choose the Gusher?
I live up in Independence, Kansas. Anytime I come through Bartlesville, I always wash my car here.
Must say something about the job the machine does, and I noticed you got a polishing cloth in your hand, too.
I do. It does a good job, much better than what we've got to offer up north here. And so anytime I come through, I'm very pleased with the product and their service and what they offer.
Go to the Gusher today. The Gusher Car Wash on US 75 South in Bartlesville.
The telephone number that gets you on the air on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Larry Glass taking your garden questions for about the next 13 minutes or so, and taking your phone calls, 800-749-5936.
Ticks.
Ticks? No, thanks. I don't need any.
All my people, they get ticks every day. We use repellents. And actually, I spray down my clothes.
Mm-hmm. It takes a higher concentration of DEET that way, but it's as good till you wash your clothes.
Yeah, and that way you don't get it on your skin, and mm-hmm. it does keep them away. So
that's I at one time I knew the concentrations as far as how much you could but it's a stronger concentration that's really too strong for your skin. So
yeah, so you don't want to be careful. You know, don't use too much of it.
Yeah.
But you do want it to, if you're working out in the garden, you do want to defend yourselves. There's organics out there, too, you can use.
Sure.
You do want to defend yourself against the ticks, because I really don't like them.
So. And of course, DEET is a multi-purpose as far as the insects. It repels a vast majority. It's just a nerve gas.
Okay.
We derived it from nerve gas, and it works the same way.
Oh, well. Yeah, but yeah. Hopefully, anyway. You do want to repel insects. You want to watch out for that. And I've seen a lot of poison ivy this year, too. I was at a house yesterday,
And she was not aware of that. Her backyard, it's just about covered in it.
Hmm.
So
obviously not sensitive to poison ivy.
No, well, she never goes back there.
That would be.
Oh my God! Yeah. What do I do?
Okay. Well, we can take this phone call. Good, okay. Good morning, caller. You're on Green Country Gardener. How can we help you out today? Well, apparently, hello. Yeah. Not sure what that is, but it's not a caller. Anyway.
Got a call from an alien.
Yeah.
Anyway, at the nursery, we have lots of Japanese maples right now. They're really beautiful in the landscape. And if you do cut them wrong, they do grow back, Kevin, just fine. Crepe myrtles are starting to come into vogue. We have the ebony series of crepe myrtles, which have purple leaves.
Purple leaves, okay. Uh-huh.
And various colored flowers. I like to use them as a substitute maybe for a smoke tree.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a purple plum or something like that. They have the ruggedness and durability of a crepe myrtle without the problems that some of the other plants that have purple leaves have, like the borers and fungus and black spot and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want something with purple leaves, it'd be a good choice. Do you have a caller?
We do. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. I have a question about campus grass.
Yes.
We talked about it a week or two ago about the fact that some of it died out over the winter, and I've got one clump that is at least partially alive.
Right.
Can I dig that up and transplant it? And if so, how big a ball, and what soil preparation do I need to do?
If it is diminished in size, you can probably move it successfully, because it'll have a rather small root system as well. So put it in an area that hopefully is south facing in the sun in the wintertime. That would be the primary criteria for picking out where it's supposed to go. And open, an open situation, no shade, and should do pretty well. But it'll still be subjected to a freaky winter like we had.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Larry.
Okay, well, yeah, dig up as much of it as you can, as much as your back will handle, and plant it in some mud at this point in time when you do plant it, and I think it'll probably do okay. They're pretty durable plants.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was wondering what kind of soil prep and mud kind of says what he needs to do there.
Pampas grass is very adaptable as far as soil is concerned, but you do want to have at least some loose soil around it to get it established. And you might add maybe a little bit of a root stimulator to help the root system spread out a little bit more. It might help it a whole lot. We got another caller?
We have another call. Good morning. You are on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I have an abundant crop of grapes. But every year we get a black spot on them. What do I spray them?
Yeah, use a copper-type fungicide. It's a fairly...
Now that the grapes are on there, I can just spray that on them, and it'll keep them from getting that black spot?
Right. We have some at the nursery. I think we've got some right now that actually has a picture of a grape on it, if I remember right. Or sulfur works real well, too. Just garden sulfur does a very good job against keeping that under control.
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you for calling. We'll take our final break and continue more phone calls on Green Country Gardener when we continue in just 2 minutes.
There are 98,000 Oklahoma companies employing 100 people or less. The government deems these 98,000 as small businesses. However, challenges are often anything but small. Whether it's a fixed-rate loan, cash management services, credit card processing, or online banking, Bank First has the expertise to help your business grow and prosper. Bank First has also been the top volume SBA lender in Oklahoma for nearly a quarter of a century. Let Bank First be your business partner. Loyal to Oklahoma, loyal to you. Member FDIC.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Thank you.
The Bartlesville Area Farmers Market is back, better than ever, with new hours, 5 to noon on Saturdays. There's plenty of things to see and do, as the Bartlesville Area Farmers Market is a full-service farmers market. There'll be plenty of local fresh produce, but as a full-service farmers market, you get more. Honey products from Local Honey, creamed honey, and jellies and jams, essential oils, and three bakery vendors with their specialty breads, rolls, and scones. Take home beautiful fresh-cut flowers, herbs, and local fresh mushrooms, too. Get your beef and pork for grilling this summer. Check out the local made crafts and so much more. The area's farmers market is back at the Frank Phillips Park by the Chamber. So mark it on your calendar for Saturdays for the Bartlesville Area Farmers Market. Come out and buy the farmers market products. Sit down and listen to local entertainers play music. See you at the farmers market Saturdays.
(800) 749-5936, the telephone number to get you on the air on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Still about 6 minutes or so for your phone calls. 800-749-5936. Locally, 918-336-1400.
Speaking of grapes, we do have some grape bush plants.
Oh, okay.
It's what we call a compact vine.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of grapes on them, so come check it out if you really want to grow some grapes in an area where you don't have a pergola or a trellis or something like that. These will grow in the garden.
So these don't require a support system typically? So it's really it's a true bush?
Yeah. I'm not going to say that it doesn't, because they get kind of heavy.
Yeah.
But it will need some kind of support. But they don't just grow like 2 feet in 20 minutes. You know?
Right.
It's some more, and they're really in bloom. I mean, they're really covered in grapes right now. So we do have some of them. That might be the answer to a smaller garden, maybe, or just put it up against the fence,
mm-hmm.
and then you can tie it to the fence as it grows. But it does, they don't get to be such a big plant.
But it still does form a scaffold like other grape plants, and as if you've got it tied up to a fence or something, then the fence would help support it.
Yeah. Just think of it, instead of something that grows, 2 miles long, it just stays more compact growing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of cool.
Okay.
So anyway, we have lots of, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of Japanese maples and crepe myrtles, and plenty of hanging baskets,
mm-hmm.
to give away, or not give away, but to maybe give to somebody, or
to give to a friend, yeah,
or if
after
you
buy it.
Or if you missed out on some planting annuals, you got instant garden. So they get pretty big. The perennial inventory is really good right now. We do have some more sunpatiens, which will be ready in about a week and a half.
Okay.
So next week we'll be talking about availability of crop of sun patients really got hurt this year from the strange weather we had.
Okay.
And as far as the production is concerned, the cool weather, and it just didn't work out. But we've got some more coming on. Spruce trees, we got a lot of those on hand, and Chinese pistache. It's a really good shade tree.
Mm-hmm.
I have one to the west of the driveway.
Okay.
It's so nice to come home and have the driveway in the shade.
It is.
So anyway, we've got some Chinese pistache trees. You really like the fall color on the Chinese pistache, and the disease resistance of them, the ease of growth. They're pretty good plants, mm-hmm. too. And that kind of leads us into irrigating the garden.
Oh,
there's several ways to irrigate. You can irrigate with a hose by hand and just water each plant individually.
Mm-hmm.
One way to do it.
But save water that way?
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
If your phone rings, no, you won't save much water. But there's drip irrigation, there's porous hose, the spray irrigation, and, the regular rainbird up on the ground spray out kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As far as efficiency is concerned, probably the most least efficient one might be the porous hose, believe it or not.
Okay. Because
it distributes water over the whole area right there and just kind of indiscriminately.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the rainbird type spray. It kind of indiscriminately distributes water.
Mm-hmm.
But probably the most efficient one would be the drip irrigation.
Because it's dripping where you want it to drip?
Exactly. Okay. You drip it specifically on a plant, and then it'll water that plant individually. The disadvantage of the drip is perhaps the durability of materials.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't buy the good stuff, it can fall apart on you. And if it's not assembled properly, it kind of falls apart on you, too. There's a few rules to follow when doing that. We can go into that a little bit later when we have more time, maybe on another program. But anyway, drip systems can be extremely efficient as far as that's concerned. The advantage of the rainbird type, I say rainbird,
underground sprinklers is durability.
It happens all the time where the brand name becomes the generic description
exactly.
for it. You know, it doesn't matter what brand of tissue you're buying, but go get some Kleenex. You know,
exactly. In other words, the lawn areas are really good for that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several ways to do that with the spray heads or the rotary heads. And they spray water in a large area, and if the timing is right, don't do it in the afternoon. You have a lot of evaporative loss if you irrigate in the afternoon with an irrigation system. So you want to do that early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
At the nursery, we use rotary heads, the impact types.
Okay.
Those have been around a long time.
Yeah.
And they're very reliable, too. And we really like the way they distribute water for our purpose at the nursery, for watering pots and things, because it does a very uniform coverage. So they work really quite well as far as that's concerned, but you really have to when you install one, you really have to follow design principles as set forth by the manufacturer for them to cover properly.
Mm-hmm.
That is the proper pounds per square inch at each nozzle, and the proper distance spacing between the two, and nozzle sizing and all that. So you really have to. It's a little bit of a science involved.
I was going to say, somebody needs to do some math, whether it's you or the person that
right.
is supplying the materials.
You got pipeline velocity to deal with and so on. And it has a lot to do with the valves shutting and opening and shutting properly with mm-hmm. the speed with which the water goes through the system. So there's a lot of factors you have to consider when designing a sprinkler system. So anyway, but if they're done properly, all of them are fairly efficient. So... If they're done properly.
If they're done properly.
Yeah, they're done
so,
properly.
Again, consider the factors that Larry gave you and make sure you are
yeah.
setting up a proper irrigation system for your garden.
When I do a design, irrigation for design to the customer, it is irrigated. I mean, it is engineered, rather.
Mm-hmm.
So it will work. And you have to consider what is the water consumption going to be like in August.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
when we're not getting...
kind of plan for that
very much
right. Anyway, at the nursery we've got all kinds of annuals and perennials, all kinds of good color to look at, hanging baskets, wind chimes, a good selection of house plants, some herbs also,
mm-hmm.
and some unusual plants that you probably don't even know existed.
Come take a look at them. You may find you like them and need some at your house.
Come take a look. And golly, Charlie, we're running out of time. Keep your shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
All right. That's Green Country Gardener on a Saturday morning. News on the way in just a bit.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville.